Well, good afternoon, everyone. How's everybody doing?
Fine.
Aha, so I don't have to be six and slim to get you to do this. This is good. I didn't mean to take Dave's thunder over there, but anyway, it's good to see all of you today. I'm drawn to certain people. Not necessarily everyone, but just certain people. And I'm sure the same is with you. You're drawn to certain people and maybe not so much others. And some of the things that draw us together are things that draw all people together. And we might be, for example, the same age, or we might be the same grade in school, we might go to the same school. That might have something in common that would bring us together. Others may be career or hobby. You know, hobbies are a very popular thing that bring people together. But there's other things, you know, whether we're single, whether we're married, whether we have kids, whether we don't, or maybe that we're retired, could bring something in common one to another. And of course, there's the other things that keep us coming together, is that we have similar personalities. Some people just kind of go together. You know? Their personalities gel, it's easy to talk one to another, and it just happens. It's a very natural human dynamic. But, you know, we also gravitate to people for other reasons. We have basic needs as humans. God gave us these needs and these wants to have them fulfilled. And some of them just is the need to be understood. You know, sometimes we gravitate to people because we want them to understand us, and we want to understand them. And even more fundamentally, we look to people often to be a source of love, from them and to them. We want to be loved, and ultimately, we do want to love. But in the end, we all have this sort of craving for unity. We all want it in different ways, but we all want unity. Not only, though, with each other, but ultimately we all want unity with God. So today I'd like to talk a little bit about having this unity, this oneness with God, and remind us of where, of course, the source of our unity is. And also a reminder, though, that we are relational beings, and there are natural dynamics that bring us together as people, as God's people. It is no surprise that God is the source of all unity. All oneness. I think we all know that. God is the source of that. But I'd like to draw attention to something Paul wrote in the 6th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and kind of want to give you a little bit of a backdrop to what's happening here. Paul is teaching some of the members of the church of Corinth, and he's trying to make a separation in their mind of a couple of things. He was, on one hand, drawing their attention to the temple. This particular temple was for the love goddess Aphrodite. And, of course, there's all sorts of pagan practices that were going on with that. And he was drawing their attention to that and basically asking them a question. Would God want his church, would he want you united with that? And, of course, you know, people recognizing that, oh, of course, no, because that's, you know, it's pagan. But his point was really too profound to ignore. And what he was trying to say is that we will become one with whatever you do decide to unite yourself with. You will become one with that. We really can't. We can't serve two masters. And in verse 17, he then basically reinforces that he who unites himself with the Lord is one spirit. And again, this point even is too profound to ignore. And that is, if we're not united in the spirit with God, all people united in that, then we will not all have common ground and the unity that God talks about. And that has to occur. So whatever things we may have in common with one another can only be transformed to all of us by and through being united through God. That's the only common ground we can all be united through. All be. You know, I just mentioned earlier that we're relational beings. And just going through Scripture, we see so many stories about the triumphs and the pitfalls of many different Christians in their life. It's all recorded here. I know recently we have gone through the story of David, and we see some very painful things that happened in his life, but ultimately the triumph over that. And you cannot help but relate to those things in some way, on a human level. We can't help but relate to that. Because the lessons, for example, of David are a source of hope and encouragement to us. God did not abandon David. David abandoned God at some times, But ultimately, when David was willing to have a change of heart and reunite himself with God, he became one again. So one that God would even call him a man after his own heart. So walking with God together does bind us together and does make us one with each other. In the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, Paul was talking about several different concepts. One of them was that we are a body of many parts. And he was trying to make it clear that each part was very important, one not more important than the other. And actually, he talked about giving preference to the lesser parts. But right after that, he then talked about spiritual gifts. And he spoke about all of these gifts, just as he spoke about the many parts that make up the body. And his point was that the work of those gifts are the work of one and the same Spirit. Verse 26 reads, then, he says, if one part then suffers, every part will suffer with it. And he's talking about unity. He's talking about oneness here. And you can only suffer with another person if you're one with them. Can't happen any other way. And then it says also, if one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. A few weeks ago, there was a presentation given here by a group. Actually, there were several people that gave a presentation on servant leadership. There was one particular presentation I wanted to just kind of focus on here, not at the exclusion of the others, but rather there was something really special that happened during it that is germane to what I'm talking about here. Barbara Wills gave a presentation, and actually it was a personal account of something that happened in her life, and something that was very much a life-changing event. And as she was talking through this process, she shared with us how she was seeking God's will in this particular thing, and how she was doing so in prayer, and she was meditating on this a lot. She talked about how she had involvement and encouragement from friends. She also spoke that in the course of it, her and Brad even drew closer together, not only as a couple, but closer together as a couple with God. And I was just drawn into this scenario where you could see that she could see through the course of all of this that occurred to her that God's hand was through it all. And you know, we cannot help but be drawn to that. The evidence of God working in someone else's life, the hope and encouragement that gives us for our trials that we go through in ours, the evidence that God is very real, and that miracles are happening, a lot of miracles are happening, the miracle of a change of heart. And it provides encouragement. And you know, I can't say that I'm really, you know, tight with the Wills. I can't say that I'm really close friends with them. But I can say this, that after she gave this presentation, I was able to relate on a level I could not relate to before. It just drew me close. And what drew me close is what was happening inside the life of Barb through her walk with Christ. It's what's the common part that draws us all together, can draw us all together. And you know, sometimes even just the simple act of sharing and sharing something very intimate about yourself with others can be the door that opens up that allows us to build relationships. Because we know relationships are not an event. They're a process. You can't just go and talk to somebody 5 minutes and, you know, be real close to them. It doesn't happen that way. But I'd like to share a story with you, something my father shared with me a few years ago. Actually, it's about my grandfather. And just to kind of give you a backdrop to this, I when I was a little kid, I wasn't exactly the easiest guy to get along with. I didn't listen very much to my parents. It was pretty disrespectful. And anyway, I didn't really get too close to my grandpa. He was a man of few words, and I just didn't have any patience for that. And anyway, it was not until I heard this story from my dad that I came to really understand my grandpa. And it's really opened a world to me and has allowed the relationship with my grandpa, who's no longer around, to actually come full circle. I actually know him now. And I'd like to just kind of share this with you. On my grandparents' 50th wedding anniversary, the small community of Linden, there's a church they attend there. It's actually a Christian Reformed church. The congregation put on a party for them in commemoration of their 50th wedding anniversary. And in true Dutch fashion, which is the community up there, they made enough food to feed a battalion. And so you can just imagine you had every pie, every treat known to mankind in there, and all this food and everything like that. And also what they did is they took the time to put displays up. And basically on the displays, they just had everybody's memorabilia about, you know, my grandparents as it affected their lives. So, I mean, you could walk through and just see all the things, all the friends they had, the pictures, the relationships, all this kind of thing. And they're all tracked out in these tables. But on the far side, apparently, there was a couple of cork boards, and upon the cork boards, there were pictures, actually, that my grandparents had. And my dad was walking with my granddad, and he was going from table to table, and they were talking about different things, and they were laughing and, you know, doing things that, you know, sons and dads do. And but they actually got finally to this cork board, and my dad has a very, very good memory of people and names. He just knows. He just has a gift for that. Anyway, they're going over the pictures, and there's one picture that he just didn't know who it was. He didn't recognize the person. And at that time, Grandpa kind of opened up about something that he never talked to anybody about before. And that was the events surrounding the loss of his mother. And that's who the picture was, my great-grandmother. And so Grandpa talked about how back in the... actually, it was 1918, the great flu epidemic of 1918. I don't know if you've heard of that. Some people call it influenza. Others call it the Spanish flu. It took more lives than World War I. It was huge. And he recounted the time about how him and his brothers contracted this flu. And then finally his dad succumbed to it as well. And how his mother tirelessly basically came to their aid, made sure they had, you know, the water. She tended to them, spoke to them, encouraged them. She never left their bedside. Let's just put it that way. And how much he remembered all the tender things she did and the longing look she had in the eyes. He remembers this. And unfortunately, in her willingness to be able to help them through the flu, she ended up contracting it as well, and she was so weak from helping them that she didn't have the strength to hold on. And so as he was telling my dad about this, my dad didn't even know until then. He just reached out and he touched that picture and he said three words. And I'm just never going to forget these words. He said, "She was beautiful. She was beautiful." And you know, I just couldn't help but after that think about all the things that Grandpa tried to tell me all those years. Why it meant so much to him that I should care about my parents and I should honor them. And how much it affected him. Later on in that conversation, in his own way, Grandpa recounted to my father how the events that he had during his childhood basically are key to him wanting to have a relationship with God. And you know, who knows where, you know, Grandpa ended up in terms of his relationship with God, but all I can say is that for Grandpa, he could never forget the sacrifice that was made on his behalf. It's very meaningful to him. And in his own way, when I was growing up, he was trying to give me a sense of that. And I never did pick it up. And it's only now that I kind of get a sense for what he was trying to tell me all along. And now I kind of understand my grandpa. And you know, it's not until sometimes that we share some things with people that we can really get inside and not only get to know them, but to get to know each other. And you know, Christ, towards the last of his days, was in prayer. We read in the 17th chapter of John how Christ was praying for himself. He was then praying for his disciples, but he also prayed for us here. And I just like in closing to read verses 20 through 21. He said, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message," and in the disciples, "that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you." You know, oneness, brethren. Oneness is something God wants from us. He wants us to be one with each other. And we need to truly understand that the only way we can be one is through him. And if we just let Christ perform the miracle of a change of heart in us, we can be one.